Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be talking about another fun topic, as you can see. I want to kind of preface this again with the right framework. You know, when we talk about, you know, worldly this, worldly that, stay away from this, stay away from that, sometimes we can paint the Christian life in such a way that feels like it's all about avoid this, 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 and that's it, right? You just, you know, stay away from bad stuff. I hope as we go through this, it's clear that how we're approaching it and how we should approach it should first and foremost come from a place of, man, I love Jesus, and He saved me, and I want to live for Him and serve Him. And as we talk through this and discuss this, this isn't a matter of removing joy or making your life more miserable, but instead adding joy. That we want. Jesus said, "I say these things unto you so that your joy may be full," and that's what we want to pursue as Christians. So I want that to be kind of our mindset as we go into this. Brian, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, sure. Anyone else need a handout? Didn't get one at the beginning? There you go, Brad. Do you need a pen?
Yes.
It's been a while since we've gotten the handout.
It has been. There you go. Okay. Here's a fun question to get your brain going. All right. When we say entertainment, by the way, entertainment is such a huge, 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 broad topic. So we're going to be, in our discussion, we'll be focusing primarily on stuff like movies, shows. You could throw games in there because games, honestly, are like basically interactive movies now, right? So, what's that? Yeah, which is also a form of entertainment. But this will kind of be more specific. What's that? It'll cover a lot of it. Yeah.
99%.
Yes, I mean when we see the words entertainment, that's usually what we not automatically think of, right? We think of like movies or video games or shows, which wasn't always the case. You know, the word entertain used to be very broad. Like, I'm going to entertain some guests this evening at my dinner party, you know, or anything like that. But now when we hear entertainment, I think because digital media is so prevalent, when you think of how out of a given day, how much of your time is spent in front of a screen, you realize that entertainment in our minds often is synonymous with games, movies, shows, things like that. That was a hand. You're just getting something out of your eye. Okay. Here's a fun question to get your brain pumping this morning with movies. Are movies a reflection of the culture, or are they designed to change the culture?
Depends on the movie.
Okay. Depends on the movie.
Okay, some movies can be based off of culture, other ones can influence.
Yeah, right. So you're saying the answer is yes.
And yes.
Right?
It's both.
It's both. I'd say more so today, the influence part is stronger than what it used to be. For a long time, movies and shows and stuff were, it's more strictly just entertainment. And so they just, you know, producers and directors said, I want to include in my show or my movie things that my audience will identify with and already connect to, and right, there's that reflection of culture. Now, there's much more of a push to deliver a message in movies. And the messages, the meaning, the point of a movie is nowadays much more overt and obvious as far as what the director wants to communicate in his movies, right? So it would be yes. And we could actually, remember the chart we had last week with music being a reflection of the heart and having an impact on the heart, right? We could really do the same thing with movies, can't we? That as a director, when you're creating something, whether it's a video game or whatever, you are producing something, you're making a creation based off of, it could be your experience, it could be your giftedness, creativity, what have you, right? So I'll make a little, this is going to be a movie thing.
What?
Get it? Like the film,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, or a Pop-Tart, one of the two. It's a Pop-Tart, Abel, that's what it is. All right, so it's a Pop-Tart. So just in the same way as music is really powerful, and we said that's cool, we can say the same thing about movies, entertainment. It's really powerful, and it's actually an incredible expression of God's creativity in us, that we can create things and create stories. I think that's why we... What's up, Jane? We enjoy shows and movies so much, because I think there's something in us that appreciates a storyline, and why a show keeps you kind of hooked to watch the next one, because it's a story, and you want to see how that story ends. So it's a really powerful medium, and it's a really prevalent medium. We all enjoy these things, and we all appreciate these things, and it takes up a lot of our day. And so we want to make sure that we're approaching this carefully. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're just going to read a passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 16, okay? All right, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 16, okay? Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be named among you, as is proper for saints. And obscene, foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving of thanks. For no one recognizes this, that every sexually immoral, impure, or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for whatever makes everything visible is light. Therefore it says, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. So pay careful attention then, how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making most of the time, because the days are evil. All right, so from this passage, we see a couple of really important things. First and foremost, when you look in verses 1 and 2, we see that righteous living and deciding and discerning and being careful about what we allow into our lives, it all begins with the heart of love for Christ because of what he's done. Verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. At the very beginning, it says, you are loved children of God, and Christ died and gave himself for you. And that should motivate everything about you in your life. In fact, the whole book of Ephesians, Paul doesn't really even get to any commands about how you should talk or how you should act or how you should do this until he spends three whole chapters just talking about what Jesus did and how incredible the gospel is and what he did in your life and how he saved you and transformed you. All of these things are first before you even think about talking through all of these more intricate details and difficult decisions and standards, what have you. So that's the first thing you want to notice, that it all starts with our walk with Christ. And we also see in chapter 5, there's a call to be discerning and be careful. Be discerning and be careful. Look in verse 10. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Later on in verse 15, it says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So this careful walking, this discernment, this focus, right, of making sure I'm paying attention. And then we also see that the Christian life should stand in contrast to the world. It says, you know, don't let this be true of you. Don't sexual immorality or impurity or greed shouldn't be heard among you. And so in action, you're supposed to be different from the world in what you do and all that. But also, even in terms of what you say, it says you're not supposed to joke about sin. It says that in verse 4. Verse 4 says, obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving of thanks. It says we're not supposed to highlight sin or pay, you know, give it... you can say, give it a platform. It says in verse 12, it's shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. So we're not supposed to highlight sin. We're not supposed to joke about sin. Every area of our life should reflect a clear biblical attitude towards sin and its consequences. Like in terms of my speech, does my speech reflect a clear biblical attitude towards sin and its consequences. Well, if I'm joking about sin all the time, then what does that reflect about my attitude towards sin? I probably don't have a very serious attitude toward it, right? If I'm joking about it, if I think it's funny, that reflects about something going on in my heart. And so we need to take the same mindset and apply it toward our entertainment, just as we do with every other part of life. We need to ask the question, does my entertainment choices reflect a thankful heart of love to Jesus, a committed, focused lifestyle of obedience, and a clear biblical attitude towards sin and its consequences? When we ask the question, what is worldly? A worldly heart is going to have a lack of love for Jesus, a careless, selfish lifestyle, and a lazy attitude towards sin and its consequences. So as we navigate this topic of worldly entertainment, what should I enjoy? What should I not enjoy? We just want to get three simple commands that we derive from this passage, right? Forgot to put this here. Does my entertainment choices reflect a thankful heart of love for Jesus, a focused lifestyle of obedience, and a biblical attitude towards sin? So first of all, love Jesus. Love Jesus. How does Ephesians 5 begin? You are beloved children. Christ loved you and gave himself for you. So we walk in love and imitate God. And this drives every part of the Christian life. Our love for Jesus should be the dominant trait of our lives. And this biblical command to love Jesus above all else, I mean, Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So, this command to love Jesus, I think, highlights some dangers when it comes to entertainment. What we enjoy, which entertainment, enjoyment, is a gift from God, something that, like, God gives us things to enjoy. And so the Christian life isn't just, you know, only, you know, never enjoying, never having fun, never sitting down watching a movie. No, those are good gifts that God gave us to enjoy. But when we're talking about what do we love most, the danger is loving entertainment more than God. And so this kind of brings us into the area of the danger of being addicted to entertainment. We looked at this in our technology study, but it bears repeating here. Entertainment is designed to be addicting. Because, I mean, you make money, right? A director, a game producer, they want to make money. That's fair. That's normal. And so they want to make their entertainment in such a way that hooks you and draws you in and leaves you wanting more. A Netflix show creator want their show to be binge-worthy, right? If it's not binge-worthy, then they're probably not going to get much profit off of it. But we know that no matter what it is, there's always too much of a good thing, right? Is there a possibility to eat too many donuts?
Yes.
Yes. Don't test that theory. It is possible. Right? The Bible speaks frequently on gluttony, right? Food is a great gift from God, but if you eat too much of it, it is not a good thing. Using food to appease selfish appetites and overindulging is a sin. So if that's true about something as harmless as food, then it must be true about our entertainment, right? Too much of anything is a bad thing. Even in how God created our bodies points to the danger of addiction. Scientists will even say that when we enjoy something, whether it's a movie we love or a game we love, our brain actually, have you ever heard of dopamine? Ever heard what that is before? Yeah. It's a chemical, it's a neurological something or other, I'm not a scientist. It's a neurotransmitter, right? And basically, it's a messenger of sorts that connects to how we feel pleasure. So when we experience something that we like, our brain releases dopamine, and it kind of is like a reward system. Like whenever you do something you like, your brain is like, cha-ching, good job, do that again, right? And we do something we like, the brain communicates, keep doing it. And if we overuse a particular form of enjoyment, we get addicted to that form of enjoyment, that form of entertainment. It's almost like, you know, have you ever seen like a path, you know, that deer walk through or people walk through over and over again, like a path that keeps getting trodden down over and over and over again, and pretty soon, just through walking on it over and over again, a new path is formed and grass doesn't grow there. It's almost the same way when we use one form of entertainment or one form of enjoyment time and time again, our brain connects enjoyment with that particular thing. That's what I love. And so you keep going back to it. And it's that reward system that keeps going, you know, back and forth and back and forth to the point where you get addicted to something. This is true about drugs. It's true about alcohol. It's even true about entertainment. That as we overindulge on something, our brain connects pleasure with that particular thing to the point where that's the only thing that will bring us pleasure. And as a result, other things bring us less pleasure. Because your brain doesn't associate pleasure with those other things anymore. Right? If I sit inside and watch movies and play games all day long, I'm not going to find as much enjoyment going outside and interacting and playing or doing sports, whatever. Why? It's not necessarily because I just don't like outside. It's because my brain has associated pleasure with one particular form that I'm overusing. And everything else kind of loses its joy and lacks any attraction whatsoever. And that's why often when we lose that form of entertainment that we really love, we get depressed. So that's the danger of addiction. That's the danger of overusing something time and time and time again. I mean, what's worldliness? It's a way of thinking that pursues your desires by forgetting God. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And because we're sinners, we live for pleasure, right? Ephesians 2, verse 3, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying up the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We can say that basically a worldly lifestyle lives for hits of dopamine, right? Whatever gets that sense of enjoyment, finding pleasure wherever we can. But what are we as Christians called to? We're called to love Jesus. We're called to find our pleasure and our hope in Him who loved us and gave Himself up for us. And if we ask the question, you know, why do I find little pleasure in loving Jesus? Well, maybe it's because we've trained our brain to associate enjoyment and pleasure with only one particular thing. And that's where we get our enjoyment. That's where we get our happiness. Not from Christ, but from something else. And so addiction is a huge danger. And it can hurt our love for Jesus. The more you grow addicted to entertainment, the harder it will be for you to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when we ask the question, how do we discern worldly entertainment or guard against our own worldly hearts when it comes to entertainment, number one would be love Jesus and don't allow anything else to compete in your love for Christ. Number two, we see in Ephesians 5 this idea of staying focused. Stay focused. A heart of love will live life intentionally. Ephesians 5 says, walk as children of light. Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We need to be careful. We need to be wise because we need to make the most of the time that we've been given. So we look at this command to stay focused in the Christian life. This also highlights some dangers when it comes to our entertainment. And first of all, that danger would be a lazy mind. Why is it easy to be lazy when it comes to entertainment?
Because we're Gen Z.
Because we're Gen Z. Oh, this isn't a Gen Z problem. This is a human problem. Why is it a danger to have a lazy mind when we're enjoying entertainment?
Because then you're not discerning and being careful and watching
everything. Right. Yeah. But why do we tend to be lazy?
Yeah.
And I mean, isn't that kind of what entertainment is?
Exactly.
Right? Entertainment is a time for you to kind of like chill and not really focus or always be on alert, right? If you're always on alert, then you get really tense, you know? And so you like to have those times you just kind of escape and relax. And it's not a bad thing necessarily. But because entertainment is an area that needs discernment, you don't want to have a lazy mind. Entertainment, by definition, is a source of enjoyment and relaxation. When you watch a movie or a show, you know, it's kind of time to turn your brain off and relax. But really, I think in this area, Christians just can't afford to have a completely lazy mind. There are worldviews that would never be tolerated and messages that would never be accepted if Pastor Caleb delivered them over the pulpit. And you'd be like, excuse me, that's not right. I can't hear that. But those same messages can go right from a show or a movie right into your brain, and you're just like, right? And it goes in, no opposition. You're like, oh, whatever. And we don't realize how much we're digesting that actually impacts how you think. For example, A while back, I was watching a show that revealed to me how lazy my mind can often be when it comes to these things. The plot of the show is kind of like it's one of those overused ones, right? The bad guy kills the good guy's family, and the good guy goes on a mission to kill everyone connected with the plot. You know, it's like this revenge tour, right? And it's this one thing after the next, and he's kind of unraveling this plot, everyone involved, and he's going to go out, and he's going to execute justice against everyone, no matter how distant they were from it. If they were connected in any way, they were going to, he's going to find them and bring them to justice. Now, when you say, what's worldly in this show? I could look at the surface level and point out some obviously worldly things, like, you know, language or whatever. But, murder. Yeah, that's kind of worldly. But, what I often just kind of glance over and not realize is the worldly approach to the plot. What does Scripture say? Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How often do we see a hero that is set up as the protagonist? And he's the one that we should emulate or admire and cheer on. And then we step back and like, my goodness, this is anti-scripture. This is exactly the opposite of what God has called us to live and do. And I'm cheering it on. I don't even notice it. It's just accepted because this is just how things are. I think we fail to realize how much we digest without even realizing it. Should I sit there and cheer on this hero of the story as he goes on a personal vendetta, assuming the role of God as he executes vengeance on his enemies? The plot is basically a way of thinking that ignores God. It's promoting something that God himself condemns. But how easy it is to let that worldview seep into my brain without any opposition. In fact, I'm tempted to cheer for it. Do you see the contrast between Scripture and the message? A lazy mind is a mind that doesn't notice these things. This allows these things to seep in. So don't be lazy about what you watch. In other words, don't just watch it because everyone else has seen it or it's the thing to see. Don't just watch it because it's about a story or a topic that you love. Stay focused. Don't be lazy about it. And then don't be lazy how you watch it. I don't care what you're watching. It could be a kid's Disney movie. Don't watch lazily. Notice how the message and the content stray from a biblical worldview. And just notice it. Like, oh, that's different. The worldly ways of thinking that don't show up on most of the content reviews, right? You can review a movie or a show, make sure that there's nothing obviously bad in it. But there's worldviews that don't show up on that kind of stuff. And just notice those things. Don't be lazy. And then the other thing when it comes to staying focused would be a calloused conscience. I can't remember if that's misspelled. There might be two L's in there. A callous conscience would be one that loses sensitivity, right? So over time, you lose focus and you lose discernment, and things that maybe once bothered you, it no longer bothers you. If entertainment never pricks your conscience, take note of that, because it's not a good sign. It's actually a good sign if your conscience is pricked from time and now and then. It means it's still sensitive. Oftentimes, we can, without realizing it, allow the world's way of thinking in movies to impact how we live our normal life. Movies have an effective way of influencing how we view love and heroism and mission and purpose and relationships and bravery and so many other things in life. So don't allow entertainment to define those things for you. God himself defines those things for you in his word. So stay alert. Don't allow yourself to view things lazily. Be focused. Number three, hate sin. Hate sin. Remember the passage that we looked at last week talking about how Lot tormented his soul, his righteous soul, from day to day in what he saw and heard? This is the same thing with movies. Entertainment is meant to be fun, right? Entertainment is meant to be fun. So if it's fun, if it's entertaining, don't entertain yourself with things you're supposed to hate. I mean, the fact that Lot had to be delivered because his righteous soul is being tormented points to the danger of this. So what are some ways that movies and shows could deceive us concerning our sin? Well, number one, oftentimes movies will remove the consequences of sinful actions. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Saying, don't let anyone deceive you that sin is removed from consequences. Have you ever watched a movie where the hero or something is committing sin but never experiences any consequences for it? Absolutely. Rather, God wants us to know that his wrath abides on those who live according to worldly desires. One of the reasons we hate sin is because of the destruction that it produces in people's lives. So be alert how your entertainment often lessens the seriousness of sin by removing its consequences. You know, you've heard the name James Bond, right?
Yep.
What's James Bond known for? Two things. He is a spy, he's a super cool spy. And number two, he's a ladies' man. Right? You can't have a James Bond movie unless he's, you know, doing his secret agent stuff and he has at least one or two women that he's meeting, right? The sin of adultery, right, in the scripture is incredibly serious. In the Old Testament, it was deserving of death. And in our movies, it's so casually portrayed in the life of a main character with no consequences. In fact, his way with women is actually a source of admiration. It's a powerful tool that Satan uses in entertainment to casually remove the seriousness of sin by ignoring its consequences. And we can see this all throughout our world today, whatever form of entertainment it is, that sin is often removed from its consequences. Seriousness of sin is one way that, the removing consequences from sin is one way that movies can deceive us about sin. Sin is going to be included in any good story. It's included in the stories of the Bible. But the real question is, how is it portraying sin? We must hate sin. We shouldn't let our entertainment deceive us into hating it less. That's the first way. Number two, glorifies sinful actions as morally good. So this is one step further, right? Instead of downplaying or minimizing sin, it often our movies and our shows will elevate sin as morally good. I think maybe an obvious example in our world today, right, would be true in terms of gender identity or LGBTQ, right? That's now it's almost a requirement that you include that element in your show or movie and elevate it and promote it as something good. When we know from Scripture, no, this is something that we're supposed to view as sin. So really, it's quite simple. If something elevates sin as morally good and promotes it, is that something I should find enjoyment in? No, I don't think so. And then thirdly and finally, it can sensationalize sinful actions in full detail. You know, get into a discussion about immorality or violence in TV shows. If you bring up this issue of immorality and violence in TV shows, someone's bound to ask this question, well, there's a lot of that in the Bible. There's violence in the Bible. There's immorality in the Bible. There's sex in the Bible. What about that? How would we answer that?
Use that as a lesson.
What's that?
I said use that as a lesson.
Okay.
Because it's morally wrong.
Okay. So does that mean as long as a show portrays sexual immorality as morally wrong, that it can be as gratuitous and visual as they want it to be?
No.
What's that?
It's not something else.
Okay. All right. Good. Absolutely. Have you ever thought maybe this is the reason, one of the reasons why God gave us his revelation in written form, too? You know, that the medium is the way in which something is communicated, whether through words or through sound or through visual. The medium is used to communicate a message greatly influences the message. For example, if you read a news article about a brutal murder, that wouldn't influence you the same way as watching a graphic video of it, right? Would you agree with that, that it's not the same? It's the same message, but the medium actually impacts it. So yeah, you know, the Bible contains sex and violence, but to use that as a justification for me filling my mind with explicit images is really shameful for me to make that excuse. I think with the written word, you actually have the ability to decide how far your mind will go in visualizing the words you just read. With the visual, you don't have that option. You see what you see, and it sticks with you. In addition to this, it's important to remember the reason why these, you could call them objectionable elements, whether that's over-the-top violence or sexual immorality, why are they included in TV shows and movies? Why do directors include these things in their shows? Because they know that it's entertaining. Why do directors include all these things like sex and nudity and violence in their movies? Because they know it's entertaining. It's a form of entertainment. A while back, one of the directors, there was an interview with one of the directors of the series Game of Thrones, which, side note, don't watch it. He was interviewed about his choice to add nudity in a particular scene. And he basically said he wanted it because he represented, quote, the perv side of his audience. So put it in there. Okay? So this is why, I mean, why are these elements included? Because we're sinners, right? Where does worldliness rest? In our hearts. Right? We have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life in our hearts. And so entertainment is an expression of a heart and it impacts our heart. Why are these objectionable elements included in these things? It's not just art. It's not just to help the storyline go along. It's meant to be content that entertains. And sin entertains a worldly heart. The forbidden and the shocking entertains a worldly heart. So here's just a question to ask when we're talking about, you know, is there too much objectionable elements in something to be worth watching? When a show or movie uses sin as a method to entertain, that's worldly. Does that make sense? So in other words, a movie and a show will include sin in it, and that's not a problem. But when sin is used as a method of entertainment, that's worldly. It's never appropriate for a Christian to be entertained or find pleasure in viewing sin. It says in Ephesians 5, it's shameful even for us to speak of those things done by them in secret. And so if it's shameful for us to even speak about those things done by them in secret, why would we invite it into our house? Why would we enjoy ourselves by watching it? How can we enjoy the glorification of something that we're supposed to hate? Remember one time one of my former pastors said something that stuck with me. He said, why would we entertain ourselves with the things that Christ died for? Right? Jesus died for my sin. Jesus died to rescue me from slavery to sin and my love for sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I've been made new. I've been regenerated and reborn. Why would I find enjoyment in my old life? Why would I find enjoyment in the things that I've been rescued from? I know my heart. I know I'm a sinner. I know I still like sin. So why would I intentionally put myself in front of entertainment that sensationalizes sinful actions in full detail, uses sin as a method of entertainment, or removes the consequences of sinful actions and promotes it as a moral good? Right? Those are all things that I just need to be aware of. And I need to ask myself, is this worth putting myself in front of? You know, we're called to love Jesus, to stay focused, to hate sin. And that applies to every area of our life. That comes first and foremost. Before you even ask the question, is this worldly entertainment? Ask yourself, how's my walk with Christ? Grow in your knowledge and love for Him, your relationship with Him, and then ask the question, what's worldly? Because you can't know the bad until you are focused on what's good. And you know what following Christ looks like. Any thoughts, questions? Anyone just straight up ask if a movie is worldly? I'll just tell you, don't watch this, watch this, don't watch this, watch this. No, I'm not going to give you a list of things to watch and not watch. We already said that's not how this works, right?
Your parents might, like, trust us and want to watch different movies than maybe someone else.
Sure, yeah. And so here's the thing, right? Right now, you know, you're under your parents' authority. And so there might be standards in your house that say, you know, don't watch this and watch this. And that's a great thing. Whether those are there or not there, you need to be thinking through these things for yourself, right? So that if there are standards in place, you're thinking for yourself and forming standards so that once you're on your own, you're thinking wisely and you continue to make right choices. If those standards aren't there, then you still have a responsibility to take those steps for yourself, right? Just because your parents allow you or not allow you doesn't give you an excuse or not an excuse to entertain yourself in one way or the other. I'm pretty sure if you came up to your parents and said, "Father, Mother, I've decided that I spend too much time on this particular form of entertainment, and I'm going to relegate it in my life and show great restraint and enjoy other things," right? They'll have a heart attack, okay? They're like, "What? What's going on?" Right? So whether or not, right now, obviously, the most important thing is, you know, follow the standards that have been placed in your home. But whether those standards are there or not, you need to be asking these questions for yourself. You need to be loving Jesus. You need to be staying alert. You need to be hating sin, regardless of where you find yourself now. Because there's going to come a time when you have to make these decisions for yourself. So no, I'm not going to go through and say, watch this, don't watch this, watch this, don't watch this. Because you need to ask the questions for yourself. You need to ask the questions, is this helping me love Christ? Am I staying focused and staying alert when I'm enjoying myself? And three, am I hating sin and not allowing the world's view of sin to impact my view of sin? Those are all things we just have to ask for ourselves. Stay alert. Love Jesus. Hate sin. All right? Cool. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us honor you and serve you in every part of our lives. Lord, you've rescued us from sin. You've saved us. I pray that we would honor you even in the ways that we have fun. We thank you that you've given us things to enjoy, but I pray you never allow those things to compete with our love for you, that we would never be lazy or calloused, and that we wouldn't that we would hate sin and not allow ourselves to be desensitized by it. You've given us freedom from sin, Lord. You've given us a life of joy. You've given us a life of peace and hope and contentment. I pray we wouldn't jeopardize that or put that in danger by things we choose to partake in. Lord, I pray that you just give us all discernment and wisdom in this. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.